It's run out of battery.
Okay.
I don't think so. Plug that.
Okay. I'm just a hole. Oh.
USB-C? USB-C.
What? Mini USB? USB-C?
Yeah. My own issue could have had actually. It's not just some of the above, but I'm just going to tell them the most age, so they believe God of any pattern, any of the sages, anybody. It's such a day. Oh, my God, I'm going to see everything. I'm going to see that. That truly is the meditation that does want to be a bit of it. She takes any one of these songs that we've done here in the Tillow. Sayagi, we hook of them with the Batif song. When it's the whole culture of this, who was here yesterday and remembers something about what we spoke about yesterday? Raise your hand. Yes.
How Krishna went to
Yes.
How Krishna bowed, he asked the washerman for some cloth.
That almost, did he ask him yesterday?
Well,
he was about to, at least.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, like, anyone remember anything else? Yes.
I feel so Krishna poem and Krishna poem and Vrindavan Day.
Thank you.
Rurik prepared his heart whilst waiting for Krishna to come and visit his house.
Thank you. Anyone else remember him?
Or cleaned his house. And waited and waited and waited.
Yes. Yes.
The crew was in this incredibly awkward position that he wanted nothing more than to remain in Krishna's association that he was.
And he waited and waited and waited. He kept his house very clean, like we're supposed to. Maybe we have a desire to be with Krishna. Of course we want to increase that desire. Maybe that desire right now is just a little sprout. But we should keep our heart very clean. And wait and wait. Maybe today Krishna will come. Maybe today, maybe today. And then Krishna walked into the city of Mathura and saw the beautiful, opulent auspiciousness of the city. And the ladies greeted him with such affection. Because he was so beautiful. And they were very careless. They were so eager to see Krishna. They were careless about their own dress. And this description is funny in the sense that they were so eager to see Krishna. They were putting on their eye makeup. They only put it on one eye. They put this ear and their... and everything backwards, they were just so eager. And of course, the funniest one is they were feeding their babies or serving food to their husbands and family members, and they just sort of dropped everything and went onto the roof to see Krishna. And there they offered prayers and threw flowers on Krishna. And then and Krishna glanced at them with his very special eyes. He glanced at them with sidelong glances at the corner of the eye. You know how to do that? Okay, you have to stand up and show everyone. Fun. I bet Krishna asked it. Yeah, hey, I only show the people on this side. Well, this side will be too eager. How did you learn how to make sidelong glances?
I don't know.
You don't know. That's a likely story.
So, he went further, Krishna went further, and the Brahmins greeted him in an auspicious way. They offered him gifts because he was the son of Vasudeva, and everyone knew it. And see if you can turn this on. Oh, I think it's sort of turned on. Maybe he didn't have enough energy to stay on, but maybe just wait a while. So then Krishna saw a rajak, a washerman. And this washerman was a servant of Kamsa's. Now, not only was he a washerman, but he also dyed clothes. And he had fresh, all new, very valuable clothes that were meant for Kamsa and Kamsa's relatives, because the great festival was coming up. Festival of the Dana Yagya, the bull sacrifice. And when Kamsa was to glorify his relatives, they were to be dressed nicely. This was a glorification of him, practically speaking. So he went to this washerman, who some of our acharyas say he wasn't, these clothes weren't actually meant for Kamsa. But he wanted to present himself like that to make it seem like his position was higher than it actually was. And Krishna actually didn't need any clothes. Shamam haranya faridim manamaz yavaha. When Krishna is described in the Bhagavatam in many, many verses, how beautiful Shamam haranya paridim, his clothes were the color of gold, haranya paridim. And he was wearing a garland of forest flowers when he went to the forest. He was decorated with so many jewels, and he was so beautiful with his decorations. So in one sense, he didn't need any clothes. But yet, he wanted to hook this washerman. Prabhupada once told the story about, there was one man who, he was in a village, and he could speak so many different languages, and he spoke them without any accent. Each of the languages he spoke perfectly according to the way the local people spoke that language. So no one could tell where he was actually from. So they would ask him, and he would answer in whatever language they asked him in a perfect way, and he wouldn't say where he was from. So someone in the village had an idea. I know how to find out where he's from. So they were walking, some of the villagers were walking with this man, and they were talking to him. And this one man went over to him from behind and boom, whacked him so hard in the back. And the man started cursing at him in his own natural language, but that's what naturally came out. Ah, now we know where you're from. Because when you're surprised, you don't have a time to focus your mind exactly, but rather the natural tendencies one has comes out. So Krishna wanted to poke this washerman because his natural tendencies, Krishna knew, they were quite demonic. He was a servant of Krishna. Excuse me. He was a servant of Kamsa. And at this time, Kamsa, in a real sense, to lure Krishna to come to Mathura to have him killed, Kamsa had put Vasudev and Devaki, Krishna's mother and father, in prison. Days before, before Akura was given the order by Kamsa to bring Krishna to Mathura, as soon as Kamsa heard that Krishna that Krishna was the son of Vasudev, you know who he heard that from? It was Narada Muni. As soon as he heard that, he immediately said, "This Vasudev is such a cheater. I'm going to have him killed immediately. I'll kill him myself with my own sword. He has cheated me. He has lied to me. I trusted him." But Narada Muni, thinking very quickly and very intelligently, said, "It is not Vasudev who's going to kill you, and it is not Devaki who's going to kill you, but it is rather Krishna. And if you kill Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj will immediately take Krishna far away to protect him, and you'll never find out where he is until it's too late. So rather, you should bring Krishna here." So Kamsa thought, "This is a very good plan." And Narada had tricked Kamsa, actually. But what Kamsa did do is he put Vasudev and Devaki in prison, because he knew that Krishna would never be able to tolerate that. And Krishna would be forced, practically speaking, to come to rescue his father and mother. So Krishna was actually very angry at Kamsa. And this servant of Kamsa had been poked, will be poked by Krishna. Some say that these clothes, as not what the washerman is going to say, but these clothes don't actually belong to Kamsa. Rather, he was selling them. Some of the acharyas say that, but he wanted to make up his story to sound more wonderful than he actually was. So Krishna said to this washerman, who had been dyeing some clothes, he asked him for the finest garments that he had. Krishna said, very, very, very politely, very sweetly, "Please give suitable garlands to the two of us, to myself and Balarama." Where is
Krishna?
Yeah. Okay. "Please give the finest garments that you have to myself and Balarama, because we certainly deserve them." So Krishna was speaking sweetly to him, but he was speaking in such a way that he would poke the washerman. And the washerman's true nature would come out. But Krishna said, "If you give us this charity, you will undoubtedly receive the greatest benefit." Thus requested by the Supreme Lord, who is perfectly complete in all respects, this servant of the king, this servant of Kamsa, who was so arrogant, he became angry. And his reply to Krishna was very insulting. Krishna had spoken sweetly to him, "Please, politely," but the washerman's reply was insulting and angry. he said, "You boys are impudent. You are speaking and asking for things that you should never be asking for. You're accustomed to roaming the mountains and the forests. You're just village boys. What do you know about fine clothing? You would dare? You would dare. You have the nerve. You impudent boys have the nerve to put on such clothes as these fine clothes? These clothes, they are the king's possessions." And he said something that was proved very dangerous. Yatasu balisemaivam. He called, Krishna had spoken, but he said balisa, which could mean you boys, but it means you ignorant, you fools. And he said it in the plural. Krishna had spoken to him, but he dare say that Krishna, but not only Krishna, called Balaram too, a fool. And Krishna ended up not tolerating that at all. "You fools, you better get out of here quicker. If you want to stay alive, you don't beg like this. When someone is too bold and asks for things that he should not ask for, what will happen to him? The king's men will come and arrest him. And they will take away all his property. They will plunder him." Balisa. Do you remember what balisa means?
Endless.
Foolish. What a fool is? Not a flower. You know what a fool is? Person who is so ignorant and stupid, has no brain, you know nothing. You know what a fool is now? Is it good to be a fool? If someone said, "You are a fool," would you be happy with such a person? If they said it to me, maybe I would say, "I know you know me. That's true." But if we were together and he said, "You two fool are fools," say, "How dare you call Braj Sudama a fool?" So Krishna became angry at this angry watchman. When he was speaking in this way, the son of Devaki, because here he specifically called, Krishna's called the son of Devaki, because Devaki, his own mother, had been imprisoned by Kamsa. And this person had said, and he knew this, he knew who Krishna was. He knew Krishna was the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And he said, "I am the servant of the king, Kamsa." And he didn't say that Kamsa is the one that has put your father and mother in prison and has put your grandfather in prison. And he had the nerve to speak like this. And the son of Devaki became very angry. And then, with the tips of his fingers, he went like this. And he cut the man's head off from his body. Now, for years when I read that, I thought, this is very extreme. But Krishna knew his heart. And second, he called Balaram foolish. And Krishna would not tolerate that. And then, because the washerman was not alone, he had his favorite animals with him. You know what a washerman's favorite animals are?
Donkey.
Donkey. all the donkeys were there, and all the washerman's assistants were there. And when they saw that Krishna cut off the head of the washerman, they dropped the bundles of clothes, and they just ran as fast as they could in all directions. And then Krishna took all the clothes. Krishna Balaram put on pairs of garments that especially pleased them. And then Krishna distributed the remaining clothes amongst the coward boys. And some were just left scattered on the ground. So when Krishna does something, he performs one act, and many purposes are fulfilled with his one act. So one of the purposes that he wanted to fulfill is he wanted to tell Kamsa, "Here I am, I have arrived, and I'm wearing your clothes, the fanciest clothes, and your servant, the washerman, is now dead." And he also wanted to show what happens to the very wicked ultimately. They're ultimately killed. Kalosman Lokachaya Krit, ultimately, they meet their death. But mostly, he wanted to give Kamsa a warning. So, Krishna and Balaram, now they were wearing very fancy clothes, and they looked extra beautiful. I once saw, many years ago, when I was in Jagannath Puri, and I saw, I was watching Tota Gopinath at that time. They allowed us to watch Tota Gopinath when he was getting his morning bath. So after he was bathed, and all the tilak markings and everything, which was so beautiful, were taken off his body. And there he was, just with no decorations on, and he looked so beautiful. And then slowly, the pujari started decorating him and painting dots on his face and dots on his arms and markings here and flowers here. It was so interesting because he looked so beautiful with no decoration. But when he was decorated, he looked still more beautiful. And the decorations looked more beautiful too. And then when he had his clothes on and the ornaments on, he looked still more beautiful. But he looked beautiful from the very beginning. So Krishna Balaram, wearing these fancy embroidered clothing, he looked so beautiful, extra beautiful. And they looked like a pair of young elephants, a white elephant and a black elephant, that were decorated for a festive occasion. Dressed in elephants, are sometimes dressed in embroidered cloth, etc. So then, when they put on their garments, and they left some, and then they were walking. And the coward boys and all the onlookers, everyone around in Mathura, because everywhere Krishna went, he was surrounded by people who wanted to see him because they were so attracted to him. And he started doing things like this. He killed the washerman like that. And then he met a weaver came. And it's interesting that one of the things that is contemporary nowadays is to make clothes out of bamboo. So this weaver, that was one of his expertises, to make clothes out of bamboo. And when he immediately, seeing Krishna and Balaram, he immediately had a completely different mood than the washerman. He saw them, he was so attracted, and he just asked them, feeling with great affection, and he adorned their clothes with all kinds of decorations. And And he gave them the kind of declarations that were very, very soft. Very soft armbands and very, very soft jewels, but very, very soft cloth. Because the next day was the day of the wrestling. And when you're wrestling, these were suitable attire for wrestling arena without hard, if it was like hard metal or something like that. Of course, in one sense, you could say you could hit the person with it. But when you're pressing or pushing each other in the wrestling, that the hard metal or anything hard would go into your own skin. And so he gave them the perfect decorations. So a contrast is going to be set up here between someone who has a nature that's spontaneously attracted to Krishna. And naturally, when you are attracted to someone, you want to serve them. So the weaver was one who wanted to serve, and the washerman, the rajak, was someone who didn't want to serve. So immediately, Krishna was pleased with this weaver, and he gave him a blessing. The weaver had spontaneously offered something to Krishna with great devotion, and Krishna spontaneously, without the weaver asking him for anything, he blessed him. He blessed him that after death, you would achieve the liberation of having a form just like the Lord's, Sarupa Mukti. And some acharyas say that just at this very time, the form of that weaver changed into the beautiful form of practically like the Lord, like a coward boy. But that wasn't all. And while in this world, he would enjoy supreme opulence, physical strength, influence, charisma. Charisma literally means power to influence others. A very good memory and strong senses that wouldn't become weak. So Krishna blessed him with all these things, even on the material level. And then that incident was over. Two incidents came one after the other with almost nothing in between. And here comes the third. Because now Krishna has come into the city of Mathura. And he naturally is so attractive, even with no decorations. But now he's wearing very, very fine clothes. Perfectly made by the weaver to fit him exactly correctly. But still some decorations remained. So next, Krishna and Balaram just naturally went to the house of someone who made garlands, mala, a mala, a mali. Now, you know what this mali's name was? His name was Sudama. So there are three Sudamas. There's one. There's four now. I guess this is one. Krishna has a friend in Vrindavan, a coward boyfriend whose name is Sudama. And then there is a Sudama who is the garland maker. And then Krishna has another friend whose name is Sudama, who's a school friend. So Krishna went to the house. He immediately went to the house of this garland maker named Sudama. And this garland maker was very special. And Krishna actually already knew him because this garland maker was always going to a place looking for flowers so he could make his garland. So where are the best of flowers? There in Vrindavan. So he would wander to Vrindavan. He would wander all over Vrindavan to find the best flowers to make his garlands. So as he wandered in Vrindavan, month after month, he came across so many times Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys herding the beautiful Surabhi cows of all the different colors with their different names. And he would see them from the distance, Krishna and Balaram, and slowly after seeing him for some time, he'd walk over. Oh, and what is your name? What are you doing here? Oh, we're picking flowers. And what is your name? Name is Sudama. Oh, I also have a very dear friend named Sudama. So naturally, they had such an affectionate exchange in their relationships between Krishna and this flower garland maker. So when Krishna went to the house of this garland maker named Sudama, he was so pleased. He hadn't gone out when everyone else had heard that Krishna had entered Mathura. The garland maker didn't go out because, do you know why? Only one person knows why. Yes. But why didn't he go out when everyone else went out to see Krishna? Why didn't the garland maker? What did he decide to do instead? Yes, yes. He decided to make the most wonderful garland. And he was just hoping for the up, because that's who he was. He was a garland maker. And he wanted to offer the most beautiful garland that he could possibly make to Krishna. And he made another garland too. And you know who he was going to give that other garland to? Yeah. But which garland do you think was a little bit nicer? The one that he wanted to give to Krishna. Just natural. So when Krishna went into his house, Krishna didn't ask him for anything. But when you go to a garland maker's house, the garland maker knew why he had come, because he was dressed in nice clothes and with nice ornaments on him. And now, because he was preparing for his wonderful exploits in Mathura, he wanted to be fully decorated. So he wanted a flower garland. So he went to the house of Sudama. And Sudama was so happy. So immediately, when he entered his house, immediately he stood up. And after standing up, his house was small. But he bowed down and he placed his head on the ground. He didn't do full astanga, astanga obeisances, because his house was too small. But he put his hands to the ground and then put his head to the ground. And then he worshipped Krishna and Balaram and all their companions with different substances, garlands, pan, sandalwood paste, and other presentations. And Sudama said to Krishna, "My Lord, now my birth has had its proper conclusion. My family is free of contamination. Now that you both have come." And this is actually what Akura had wanted. "And now here my forefathers, the demigods and the great sages, everyone is sanctified and satisfied with me. And you two lords." So he knew who Krishna was also, just like Akura knew who Krishna was. "You are the ultimate cause of the entire universe." Now, this is good for us to remember as Krishna is walking through the town on the roads of Mathura. Krishna is with Balaram, and Krishna with his cowherd boyfriends, and Krishna's playing with his cowherd boyfriends. So he's simultaneously in the mood of a cowherd boy in Mathura as a boy seeing the city, the big city, for the first time, But yet he's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And different people, according to their own consciousness, they'll see Krishna in different ways. And this we'll find out later if we can reach that point when Krishna enters the arena of the wrestling arena. The words are used, rasovai saha. The Krishna is the reservoir of all rasa. And according to our vision, according to who we are, we'll see Krishna and relate to him in one way or another. So it's a very interesting thing. How we see Krishna is in some real way a reflection of our own consciousness. How we view the world is a reflection of our own consciousness, because the world contains everything. It, from one point of view, there's nothing separate from Krishna. So it's very interesting to look at how we view the world and understand, oh, what do you know? There's something in me that's causing me to see the world in this particular way. And for a pure devotee who sees Krishna in all things, Vishwa Purna Sukhayate means this material world that we criticize is such a miserable place. It's the whole universe is a place of happiness because they feel themselves completely under the shelter of Krishna, in Krishna's world, under the shelter of Krishna, completely. So therefore, they think nothing can go wrong for me. Everything that happens is Krishna's mercy, even though it may not seem like Krishna's mercy at this time. But yet, this is my Lord's place. This is what he wants. Okay. So one has to be extremely advanced for this. Tavaram zagamam te kina te kitarum. Just everything as in relationship to Krishna. This is the view of a person who is a Mahabhagavata. And of course we can't imitate this, but this is the view of a Mahabhagavata. He sees himself under the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet continuously. And there's this one verse in the Uddhava Gita where Uddhava says that Krishna's lotus feet are like an umbrella. But it's a special kind of umbrella. Because this umbrella has one function, we usually think of it. And what is the one function of an umbrella?
Shelter.
Yeah, it shelters one from?
Sun.
Rain and sun. But this particular umbrella, not only does it shelter from the harsh ingredients of material existence, but also it rains down from the inside nectar, sweetness, and it bathes us in that. So that's the ultimate shelter that we're looking for in Krishna's lotus feet. So you two, he said, are the ultimate cause of this entire universe, and you bestow sustenance, that means maintenance and prosperity, upon this realm. You have descended with your plenary expansions. Does anyone know the synonym? What does plenary mean? What you said? Yes. Complete, full, complete. So Balaram is a plenary expansion of Krishna. He has the same potency as Krishna, basically. So this is very interesting when we think of the sequence of events here, what he says next. Although you reciprocate with your devotees' loving worship, you always remain equally disposed towards all living entities. So he's equal to the washerman, equal to the weaver. He's reciprocating with everyone, and he's equal to Sudama, the garland maker also. He's reciprocating with us. If we, one time Prabhupada told His Holiness Satsuma Raj, right at the very beginning of when Prabhupada was at 26 Second Avenue, he was saying that, because every day Satsuma Raj would bring a mango to Prabhupada. He had heard that Prabhupada had said that mangoes were the king of fruits and that he was fond of mangoes. Do you like mangoes? What is your favorite fruit?
Mango.
Yeah? Would you like a mango right now? Huh? No? Well, good, because I can't give you one. I could give you one, but I can't. But Satsumaraj had heard that Prabhupada liked mangoes, so he found a store in New York City that sold mangoes, and every day he would bring Prabhupada a mango. And Prabhupada told him something that it sounded very simple, and in one sense, it sounds almost businesslike in one sense, but it wasn't at all. He was giving him a hint about how to deal in spiritual life with Krishna and with those dear to Krishna. Well, Prabhupada was dear. He said, if you love me, I will love you. The love was always there, but you'll experience love from me if you act with love. So Sudama says, you always remain equally disposed towards all living entities. But it doesn't look like that. He kills one and awards another, but yet he's reciprocating with them according to how they're approaching him. You always remain equally disposed to all living entities, but you reciprocate with your devotees' loving worship. You reciprocate with the washerman in one way, and you reciprocate with the devotee in another. And then Siddhama said, please order me, your servant. I am your servant. Please order me to do whatever you wish, to be engaged by you in some service is certainly a great blessing for anyone. And Sukadev Goswami continues, so Krishna had come in, he worshipped, he was so happy to see Krishna, just sincerely, honestly, naturally, spontaneously happy to see Krishna. Just the opposite of the washer. Please tell me how I can serve you. And then Sukadev Goswami continues the narration. How did Krishna deal with him? He said to Maharaj Prakrit, who was listening, O best of kings, having spoken these words, Sudama could understand what Krishna and Balaram wanted. Thus, with great pleasure, he presented them with garlands of fresh, fragrant flowers, the most beautiful garlands filled with fresh, fragrant flowers. So now, Krishna and Balaram were dressed in their fine clothes, and now their beauty was more complete because they were wearing beautiful flower garlands, and they also their companions had fresh, beautiful clothing on. The companions also had nice garlands. And then Sudama bowed down. And he asked Sudama, whatever you want, I will give you. Now just imagine if Krishna asked you, whatever you want, I will give you. Ultimately, Krishna will give us whatever we want. So, we should be very careful what we want. But what is the best part of us really want? Because sometimes we want silly things. But that's not what we really want. And that's not the best part of us. And the silly things won't bring us the happiness that we really want. But what do we really want? It's a good question to ask oneself. Because when we look back on our lives, and I I note this in myself too. Everyone feels that they missed out on something. They didn't have something that they always wish they had, and they had seen that someone else had something that they didn't have, and it looked like that person was blossoming in a way that I didn't blossom in. And when I talk on this particular point, I always remember that when I was probably 16 or 15, I had hair, and it was even curly. It's hard to believe it. but I had a friend whose hair was sort of more blonde and straight, and I used to stand, because I was 16, and this is what 16-year-olds do. They stand in front of the mirror. Here you go. I tried to comb my hair again. And I remember one time at Wednesday Group, and I were in I think it was the music case. And did anyone ever go to what's it called? What's that called again? That restaurant, the group had?
Chotiwala.
So we went to this Chotiwala restaurant. And there was this young boy standing in front of a mirror, and he was combing his hair for so long, and it looked exactly the same. But he was for so long. I can't even imagine what he was trying to do, but it wasn't what was happening. But so that was my desire. And then when you get older and you lose the different abilities of your body, and you think, oh, my life is like this, and it's only if this, and I see only if I had this, then this, and this. And this is, according to the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this is exactly what keeps us going from one place in the material world to another. These kind of desires. Oh, you think this will make you happy, Krishna? So kind? Okay. You get, sorry. I didn't mean to let go that one. And so it's described like a branch. The trees have different branches. The material world is compared to a banyan tree with its branches up and its branches down, roots down and branches up. No, it's the other way around. Roots up and the branches down. And we keep wandering, and the twigs of the tree has its leaves and its fruits. And they're the different objects of the senses, the different things that can fulfill our desires. And we think, this time, manas time, be silpa savate, when it's time for me to leave this world, I'm thinking, oh, only if I had this, then I wouldn't, and then I would have had that, only if I knew that, only if I had straight hair, only if I have curly hair, only if I was taller, only if I was thinner, only if I could play the harmonium, only if this, only if that, only if this, only if that, only if I was richer, only if I was poorer, only if this, only if I had land, only just on and on. And this car, I only have two Rolls Royces, only if I had seven Rolls Royces. And all these desires are like seeds for our next life. You want that? So just imagine when one has a little bit of knowledge, it's such a frustrating situation in one sense, because we know that we should be desiring on this level, and yet I have desires on, whoops, the other way around. I know I should be desiring on this level, but yet I have desires on this level. How do you deal with that? But yet we should know the consequence, like Dhruva Maharaj found out, that he prayed to the Lord with such sincerity, such determination. And then when he actually saw the Lord, he performed such austerities, he actually saw the Lord. And then he felt so foolish because he had come to him to fulfill these petty desire of wanting a kingdom, a childish desire of wanting a kingdom greater than his father's or greater than something big. But still he thought it was childish in the presence of the Lord. So when he saw the Lord, he said, now I understand, now I'm satisfied. I don't want those things, but yet Krishna gave him those things anyway, for thousands of years. And he felt foolish. So Krishna said to the florist, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. And a florist, Mali, is not considered the very high status in society. And if I remember correctly, maybe it's in Gujarat especially, I don't know, but it's considered, if you see a Mali early in the morning when you walk out, it's considered quite inauspicious. Is that, you ever hear that? Yes? So it's not, you've heard that too? No. Yes? Was that a yes?
Yes.
Yes. So, so it's not a very, but on the other hand, if you see a cow first thing when you're walking out, it's very auspicious. I see a pot that's full of water. So he wasn't in the highest position in society. And Krishna said to him, I'll give you whatever you want. And please listen to what he said to Krishna in response. And very interesting, it was just basically the same thing that Parikshit Maharaj prayed to the sages for in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. He said, I want unmistakable devotion to Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence. Unshakable devotion, fixed devotion that doesn't waver this way or that way according to my mood, according to what happens to me during the day, according to my karma. I want to have that fixed devotion to the supreme soul of all existence. He who is in all places, the supreme Lord, the cause of all causes. But that wasn't all he asked for, that unshakable devotion. He asked for friendship with his devotees, tad bhakteshu chasauridam. Sorida means friendship, but sorida means a little more than friendship. It means surida, means close to the heart, very near and dear to the heart. So first, devotion that is unshakable. And then friendship, true, dear, open-hearted, close friendship with the devotees. And then, bhuteshu cha dayam param, transcendental, or compassion, compassion for all living beings. Devotion for the Lord, friendship with the devotees, and compassion. Because if one is really in devotion, then and has the shelter of Krishna, and he really has his desires fixed on Krishna, and then he sees the ordinary living beings, from the humans to the animals, he sees the difficulties that they're facing with no shelter and just being bounced around by the material modes of nature, not knowing what their future is, or even worse than not knowing what their future is, engaging in activities that guarantee them a horrible future, suffering now because the result of actions in the mode of ignorance is deeper ignorance. So compassion for all living beings. So very wonderful what he asked for. First was what? Raise your hand.
Unrestrained devotion.
The supreme. Second?
Devotees.
That's it, the devotees. And third? Okay, no, Mr. Ace, they interest. I was once sitting with Srila Prabhupada, and he was talking to the devotees. This was in Melbourne, 1975. And he was saying to the devotees that you're so wonderful because your activities, they're so full of compassion for all the living beings, for everyone, their activities, acting so compassionate when you're full of compassion. And I remember feeling very much not compassionate and thinking, I wonder who he's talking to. And I was wondering what the other devotees are thinking, because everyone was so young. Do we act with actual concern and compassion for other living beings? Are our hearts soft? Are we basically selfishly absorbed? Compassion for myself only. So, and then at other times, Prabhupada said, to be part of a compassionate movement is also compassionate. I remember when Prabhupada said that, feeling very embarrassed. So how is Krishna going to reciprocate? How is Krishna going to reciprocate? We saw how he reciprocated with the washerman, who had a nasty temperament. We saw how he reciprocated with the weaver, who had a very fine devotional sentiment, mentality. And how is he going to reciprocate with Sudama, who is such a sweet, emotional, affectionate, moved, kind-hearted, humble? And this is how Krishna reciprocated with his request. Not only did Lord Krishna grant Sudama these benedictions, that which he asked for, but he also awarded him strength, long life, fame, beauty, and ever-increasing prosperity for his family. It's like what everyone wants. So we may think, oh, I'm very clever. To get these things, I'm going to ask for those other things. But if you try to be more clever than Krishna, it doesn't work, I will tell you that. Sudama was simple and sincere, and Krishna reciprocated with him as he wanted to reciprocate with him. So after this exchange, Krishna and his elder brother Balaram took their leave. They continued walking through the streets of Mathura. And the next, that ends this chapter actually, and the next chapter is very wonderful, as is the next chapter after that, is the next chapter after that. The chapter after the next chapter after the next chapter comes and will be killed. And we won't get there tomorrow. We can try our best. But anyway, in case we don't get there, I'm just telling you in advance, Kamsa's going to get killed. So you know, and you can sleep tonight. And it's so interesting. After Krishna kills Kamsa, he thinks, he's surprised how easy it was to kill him. Okay. We have a few minutes. Raghavan, do you think we could have just a real short kirtan? Yeah.
Just now you mentioned that how Sudama was asked for those, he asked Krishna for those
three things.
And the way he worded it was, I would like the unwavering devotion towards Supreme Personality.
But soul of all, of everything, of all beings.
But if, I'm just thinking, if he was already in front of Krishna, why wouldn't he just say, I would like, you know, frame the question in such a way that he's already talking to Krishna and say that I would like unwavering devotion towards you, the Supreme Lord, something of the sort.
I don't know. Maybe he thought Krishna would get embarrassed. I know nobody said that you're the Supreme Lord. He said you're the Supreme Lord, but yet he worded in that way. Maybe it was a little more gentle to speak indirectly. Because actually, I don't know if this is why he did it, but Krishna likes things that are parokshavat, which means a little indirectly done. One day maybe we can speak about that. But a little indirect has a little more sweetness to it.
Just asking a quick question, sorry, Dr. Shai. I find it interesting, sort of similar to Nick's question, how the weaver got, he did an act of devotion, bhakti, by giving Krishna those wonderful bamboo jewelry. And Krishna gave him Sarupya Mukti, which is relatively, for an act of bhakti, it seems kind of strange that he got that. And from a different angle, the fact that he actually reached the platform to be in Krishna's presence surely means that, why would he? It just seems really strange that he ended up getting mukti instead of.
Mm-hmm. No, but also it said that some of the acharyas say that he got a form of a cowherd boy right then and there. Some say that.
It's unbelievable.
But Sarupya Mukti, not Vaikuntha maybe, but Mathura is in Braj. And the people of Mathura are in there because they're people of Mathura. They have that mentality. It's in the district of Mathura. It's Braj in one sense, but there's a line of demarcation, there's a line of difference in mood. Because the residents of Vrindavan won't say, oh, Krishna, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's just a difference in mood.
Slightly,
but it's a big slight. But Siddhama, he had the opportunity to, he went into Braja. Because everyone was afraid of going there because of Kamsa. But he went, Siddhama, the florist, would go. Because
right.
I'm so insignificant, I'm a florist, I'm going there to pick flowers. What's the problem? But why someone approaches Krishna and says exactly what they say, and why Krishna reciprocates with them in the way that Krishna wants to reciprocate with them, this is all individuality and rasa on both sides. You know, we pull philosophy from it, but yet it's the Krishna's reciprocating with someone the way he wants to reciprocate with them. And we take it that everything is for the benefit. Because he's part of Satyam, he's the absolute good, so whatever he does is good. What do you think?
The answer's perfect.
I don't know, but it's the limit of what I know. So now, why don't we just go a little bit internal and think of beautiful Krishna and his mysterious ways, and chant just for a few minutes and see if we can chant sincerely and from the heart as best we can.